Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to read from verse 45. Let's read from verse 32. Matthew chapter 27 from verse 32. Hear the words of the Lord as he spoke to us through his scriptures. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments amongst them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the 6th hour there was darkness over all the land until the 9th hour. And about the 9th hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on the reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among whom were Mary Magdalene, the Mary, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. So far the reading from God's words. Brothers and sisters, the theme of the sermon this morning is God forsook the Lord Jesus Christ so that he will never forsake us. Sermon by John Harbord. John, and some of you may probably have been separated from your parents at some stage. Or even some of us as adults, when we were children, may have been separated from our children. I know that when we went to a busy shopping center once, young James, as it was his custom, decided to walk away from the family. And he got lost. I'm sure if we ask him what his emotions were at that point in time, he would say, "Oh, it was terrifying." Or maybe he'll say he was glad to get away from mum and dad, but I don't think that's the case. But the emotion, the stress and the strain from being separated from your family is a phenomenal anxiety. Even sometimes as children, we may have gone to grandma or grandpa for a visit. And then once we're there, we realize it's not that cool. And we want to go home. And we wish for the week or 2 weeks to pass by so we can go home back to mum and dad. But it's not the only children that suffer this. We as adults suffer loneliness as well. Think of your grandmother and grandfather who's been married for 40, 50, 60 years, and then one of the spouses pass away. Imagine that loneliness the person must feel. Loneliness that comes from being separated from his lifelong spouse. Or think about people that go through divorce or separation. How they struggle with separation. So all these feelings are difficult for us to understand. All these feelings for us as humans are feelings that puts a huge amount of strain on us. But none of this can compare with the separation that Christ experienced on the cross. No one has ever experienced a separation like this. And brothers and sisters, no one will ever continue to experience a separation like Christ experienced from his Father. This was the ultimate loneliness. This was the most terrible aloneness that any person can ever experience. Because Christ was abandoned by God the Father as the punishment of sin for his people. Let's put it in context. Jesus was arrested late on Thursday evening. And around about midnight, they had a kangaroo court, as we heard a couple of weekends ago. And then they tried him in secret and found him guilty of blasphemy. Because Jesus claimed and said that he is the Son of God. At daybreak on the Friday morning, which we celebrate today, Pontius Pilate found Jesus not guilty. He found him innocent, yet he ordered him to be flogged and taken to be crucified. Jesus was hung on the cross around the third hour, Roman time, which is about 9 o'clock in the morning. And during those first 3 hours, Jesus spoke a couple of words from the cross, all recorded for us in Scripture. He prayed for those that crucified him. He spoke to the robber on the cross. He spoke to Mary and to John. And he spoke general words on the cross as well. Then at 12 o'clock, or the sixth hour of the Roman, according to the Roman time, a strange and unplanned event occurred. Darkness came over the earth. It lasted for 3 hours, the ninth hour in the Roman reckoning. This was a real darkness. This was a real darkness. This was not just the imagination. It was the wrong time of the year to have a solar eclipse. This was a supernatural darkness, a darkness that came from God. It was caused by God for his purposes. This darkness represented the lowest point in the suffering of Jesus. It was a symbol of the darkest period of Christ's suffering on the cross. And it represented the judgment of God on human sin. This was also a crucial moment in the suffering of the Lord Jesus. And a crucial moment for your life and mine. And in the history of the world. These few hours were a critical time in God's plan of salvation. When Jesus was born, the night sky above Bethlehem was brightened by the light and the brilliance of angels and the singing choir. When Jesus died, the midday sun above Golgotha was darkened by God, which provided a fitting backdrop for the evil angels who came to torment Jesus for these 3 hours. At the ninth hour, the end of those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was the fourth cry from the cross, and it was the most agonizing of all. It is also among the most remarkable statements you read anywhere in the Gospels. Jesus quoted this from Psalm 22, which we read earlier this morning. There have been many interpretations of these words by people, some very far-fetched. Some people have said that this is psychological slant, suggesting that throughout his life, Jesus had fears about God leaving him. But he had suppressed these and now they were coming out. Others have suggested that it was a cry of anger and unbelief towards his father. Others have said that Jesus only felt abandoned, but that the father did not really leave him alone. But these interpretations miss the entire point of what was happening here during the time of darkness. We must never, never weaken what Jesus said. We must never water it down. We must always consider the full strength of what Jesus suffered during these hours. Christ was truly forsaken. God the Father left him alone to bear the full weight and punishment of sin, without the assistance of anyone at all. There, of course, is for us a significant mystery here. No one on earth, not you nor me or anybody else, will ever understand the nature of this mystery. How can the unity of the Trinity be broken? How can the Father turn away from his Son? How can the two persons of the Godhead, who have loved each other from all eternity, experience the separation? Where is the Holy Spirit in all of this? Did he also leave Jesus in his hour of need? How can there be any disharmony in the harmony and unity of the Godhead? A mystery. And no one can answer these questions. Some people have tried. Theologians have stammered their way through possible solutions, but only reached confusion. William Hendrickson has tried to illustrate it by describing a young child that's very ill that goes to a hospital. The child is too young to understand what is wrong with him or why he needs to have the operation. His parents love him very much, but they cannot be with him during the operation or during the time of intensive care following the operation. The little boy feels very alone. He misses the presence of his mother and father. He feels abandoned. And he cries out for his parents, but they are not there. In some similar way, Jesus had to go through this suffering and alienation from his Father in heaven, alone. It was necessary, but he felt this abandonment. It was real. The difference is that Jesus understood why he had to do this. Jesus understood what was happening. He had planned this with his Father and with the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. His death had a purpose. What does it mean? How does it apply to us today? In these hours of darkness on the cross, Jesus was suffering the judgment of God and the torment of hell. God the Father turned away from his Son because this was the punishment for sin. This is what was happening to Jesus. He was experiencing loneliness. He was experiencing God's wrath, not for his own sin, but for yours and mine. That is why God abandoned him. This is what hell is. It is to be separated from the grace and goodness and mercy and love and presence of God. This is why Christ went through this terrible isolation, symbolized by the darkness of those 3 hours. This is how we understand the Apostles' Creed, where it says he descended into hell. Many people think that, or teaches that, Christ actually went to hell after he died. But we know this is wrong. The Creed is not giving us a chronological account at this point. It's describing a time sequence. No, Jesus did not go to hell when he died. Rather, the moment Jesus died, he went to be with his Father in heaven. Think of Jesus' words to the man next to him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Think of the final words before Christ died when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The moment Jesus died, he went to be with his Father in heaven. This phrase in the Creed describes his intense sufferings while he was on the cross. During those 3 hours of darkness, he went through the agonies of hell. He suffered the wrath and judgment of God for sin. Also during those 3 hours of darkness, Satan once again came to attack and tempt Jesus. He had done this when Jesus was in the wilderness before he took up his ministry. He had confronted Jesus during his ministry, especially through all his evil spirits. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had wrestled with temptation, praying that God would take this cup away from him. As the time of the crucifixion grew near, Jesus was aware that this was the hour of darkness. This was when darkness would reign. This was when Satan would strike his heel, as promised way back in the Garden of Eden. This time had to arrive, and he was in it. Jesus was suffering all this because of the sin of his people. Jesus did not die on the cross for his own sin, no, but for yours and mine. For your sin and disobedience and rebellion, and mine. He took the punishment you and I deserve to suffer. He took the curse of sin on himself. Remember the famous words of Isaiah 53:4-6. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. It was this that provoked the cry of the Lord. It is not that he was afraid of death itself, no. He urged his disciples, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but who cannot kill the soul. Matthew 10:28. Nor was he even so afraid of the pain of the crucifixion. No, many people died this cruel death. It was not the physical suffering of Jesus that was unique. Rather, it was the spiritual suffering. That he was forsaken by God. That he bore our punishment in his own body and soul. The suffering for Jesus was intensified because he had always lived so close to the Father. Think of a child who is very close to his or her parents and has never been away from home, who is suddenly kidnapped and locked away in a terrible prison. This is the sort of dramatic change of situation we need to consider for Christ. He was the second person of the Trinity. He was the eternal Son of God. He was the Son of the Father. He had been in heaven with God for all time, from all eternity. He had enjoyed the beauty, the splendor, and the glory of the perfection of heaven for all time. Yet, he came down to earth, to a world full of sin and evil. He had been despised and rejected by men, misunderstood, ridiculed. He had been put to death by men and people like us. And now he was separated from his Father. When he cried out to his Father from the cross, he received no answer. He was alone. The Father was not with him. He sensed this distance. He did not even address God as my Father, but rather as God. He was forsaken by God. Yet even though God has abandoned him, Jesus did not lose hope. He still prayed to God. He cried out to him. His Father in heaven was still God. And he was still my God. Jesus still looked to his Father in heaven. He still believed in him. His words were an expression of his trust in God his Father. Here are words of faith out of darkness. Jesus did not lose his grip on God. Here is a cry to the Lord from his depths of despair. So although he was forsaken, he kept his faith. He knew all this was planned. It had a purpose and a reason. This cry from the cross shows us the terrible consequences of sin. All those who continue to live in sin and unbelief in the Lord, who live in pride, will face the punishment of hell. They will have to live away from God for all eternity. They will be abandoned by God the Father. They will experience all the horrors of being alone and will experience this forever. Here is a reason to repent and believe. Some might say that I'm trying to frighten you, and they may be right. In a sense, that is true. Parents do that when they warn their children not to touch the hot plate of the oven or the stove, or play around with boiling water. The police try and warn people not to drive too fast or drive under the influence of alcohol or drugs. In the same way, the Bible warns us today about the consequences of continuing in rebellion against God. It will end in hell. Now is the time to turn away from living for your own selfish pleasure and turn to live for the Lord or die. If we do turn to the Lord, then the words of Jesus assure you of the forgiveness of your sin. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of his people, and he took their punishment on him. He died in your place and mine. He died so that you can be forgiven and I can be forgiven. One of the most famous Easter hymns put it like this: we may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. This is what we remember every time when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We do this in remembrance of him and as a reminder of the forgiveness we have. Finally, brothers and sisters, it reminds us that God is always present with us. There are times that we all feel alone. There are times that our family may be far away from us. There may be times that we may be far away from feeling far away from our spouses, or a gap between us and our children, time when we feel lonely and isolated. There are even times when we may feel separated from God, as though God was far away at a distance. You may feel like the sons of Korah when they wrote Psalm 42. When can I go and meet with God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? But the person who believes in Christ and has received God's grace knows God's love is forever. That person knows that God will never, never forsake us. We will never be alone. Jesus was forsaken by the Father so that we, as the children of God, will never experience the separation from God. Jesus was abandoned by God so that God would never leave you and me alone, ever. Jesus has been through hell so that we can go to heaven. The Father turned away from his Son so that he could turn towards us in love. If we believe in Christ, no matter what we are going through, no matter what we may feel, we can be sure that God the Father is with us, watching over us, taking care of us. For us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are always in the presence of God. How? He dwells within us. He dwells amongst us. His Spirit has made abode within us. Brothers and sisters and friends, let us trust in the Lord Jesus, and we will never, ever be alone.